morning, Adam. How are you today?
Fantastic, Jack. How about you?
I am excellent. An excellent day in Cleveland, Ohio. It's always an excellent day in Cleveland, Ohio.
Good.
Except when it's snowing about 8 feet, but it isn't going to do that for a while yet. So we're okay.
We're
in good shape. Mm-hmm. You know, I was looking over my financial statements yesterday. So my CPA told me that I had a real good year. I made a lot of money. Man, that made me feel good, you know? So I looked up the financial statements and I saw these big profits and I said, holy crap, life is good. I'm going to stay in Cleveland. But then I kept looking around. I looked at my checkbook and didn't have any money. What does that mean? How can I have all these profits and no money? Did somebody take it from me or what? Somebody or a group of somebodies? Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I was scratching my head and saying, man, how does that happen? You have any insight into something like that, Adam? Why I can't find cash and I see all these profits?
You know, one of the dirty secrets of small business, Jack, and that's the name of this show, is, and welcome everybody to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. But one of those dirty secrets is that cash is often found hiding in your business.
Hiding, like hiding. With a mask. We just got rid of masks.
Well, it's like hide and seek. Right. So okay. you got to know where to go start looking, right? If you're playing hide and seek and you usually create those boundaries. Hey, we can only go within a certain parts of the house or certain parts of the neighborhood, Jack, but at least you kind of know what the boundaries are. So you're looking in the right places. And one of the challenges we've seen with many small businesses, Jack, is that they aren't looking at their financials. That's where they often will find this hidden cash. Or if they have financials, they're often kind of a mess. And so it's not really giving any clear picture of what's kind of going on. But cash is often hiding in strange places.
Strange places, okay.
Well, there's some obvious places too, but there's different ways to kind of make that happen. I want to cover some of those today. But I wanted to start out with, there's just to prove an example of this, and many of our listeners might have heard a version of the story over time, Jack, but if you could just tell the part of Cleveland Armature, that's one of the first company Jack bought for our listeners. It was a company called Cleveland Armature. And it was kind of a mess. He's told the story a couple different times. I'll put a link to the one show where you kind of gave some more detail about this, Jack, a couple years ago. I'll put that in our show notes for people if they want to hear more of the story. But one of the highlights of the story is after you got in and you talk about giving a big rah-rah speech to the seven employees about, hey, I'm the new owner and everything. And then you ventured into the office filled with papers and stacked up and just a mess, Jack. And amazingly, there was some cash hiding in there. Let's let me know kind of what that little bit of that story in terms of how you found, I believe the number was $65,000 in cash.
That's so, right. More than one place.
So for those of you listening, if you're interested in finding cash like that, why don't you take a listen to what Jack's got to say about his story here with Cleveland Armature.
That was, as Adam said, the first acquisition of a little company. And I was cleaning up the office in this little company, you know, to make sense of it all. And here was an envelope. I opened the envelope up and there was $5,000 in cash. That's for a company that I bought almost for nothing. And here it paid me $5,000. So that kind of spurred me on to really start turning stuff over faster.
So literally an envelope full of cash. Okay. So that's
correct.
Hiding among stacks and piles of paper. So if
there are little paper eyeballs kind of peering out underneath a couple of these stacks. And
so if your office is that way, right? That's for our listener. If your office is kind of that mess like that, maybe you should start digging a little bit. Or if you have some friends that you know that own companies and you walk into their office and you see that mess, just say, hey, you know what? Is it possible that might be some envelopes full of cash lying around here somewhere? Just kind of
let me help you. Let me help you get it cleaned up. I can keep whatever I find.
Finders keepers. That's right, Jack. I like that.
that just made me move these piles down faster. And, you know, lo and behold, I found two more envelopes like that with $5,000 in cash. So there was cause for celebration. What a home run that was, first day. But, you know, the office was cluttered. When I say cluttered, it was cluttered. It was owned by an older couple, and the man was running the company of this couple, and he took ill and actually died, you know, before I ended up buying it. and his wife was trying to hold it together. And it got ahead of her, and the IRS decided to close the place down. So I bought it before that happened from the IRS. And as I'm going through this office cleanup, in the corner was a little tray full of mechanical gibberations and the like. And I looked at it, and there were ledger cards from old accounting kind of records. And as I looked at these, they weren't that old. I mean, they weren't like 10 years old. They were maybe a year old, year and a half old. And it was an addressograph system. And after I had graduated from college, the first job I took was with addressograph. So I understood the system very well. It was a simple system. And I was able to recreate another $50,000 in accounts receivable. So great surprises. And, you know, I've acquired a few companies through the years, and I've never, ever had one that had not have a surprise, and a positive one. There are negative ones, too, but there are always positive ones. And it goes to show you this market of small companies is absolutely wonderful. It's wonderful from the standpoint that you never know what you're going to find. There's always something positive. Some have bigger values than others, and it's a lot of fun, and it's educational. And anyone who doesn't try to do it is nuts in terms of looking for things to do upon retirement or whenever you want to go. Anyway, that's the story. That cash was hiding. It was hiding.
Yes,
waiting
it was
to be found. And there's a lot of nice, wonderful surprises waiting to be found.
Yeah, and many of the cash is hiding in plain sight, right? So if you look at that, you know, so while you may not have those envelopes lying around, but again, that's something to kind of, you know, again, when you see a big pile of mess like that, don't always kind of, you know, push it off.
Don't look negative. That's right. Look negative at it.
You know, look for those envelopes, those kind of thick envelopes. Look like they may have some, you know, wads of $100 bills in it, but... The other part was, like you said, it was hiding in plain sight, was this, the receivables that you're able to recreate, Jack. I want to kind of touch on that because, again, while I think most people may not have those envelopes of cash laying around, most companies have some version of accounts receivable, folks that they're, you know, they build for. So this company that you're talking about, Jack, so what happened was they're winding armatures for this little Lionel train or for something else, and they bill their clients after they do the work for them, and then they never collected the money. Right. And so
that's something. And that is pretty common, you know, since most owners don't understand and use the numbers, the financial statements on a regular basis, when they do print them out, it doesn't do any good. They don't look at them. And basically you can find things on those financial statements, even if they aren't prepared well, as long as you're somebody is putting entries into the records, You can piece it together and find stuff. And again, it's never failed. There's inventory, there's tools, there's you know, documents, accounting records that basically yield something. And more often than not, these small companies go maybe years, plural, not keeping up their records because they don't like to. And whoever their bookkeeper in quotes is, that person walks out, and then they're dead, you know, in terms of being able to get data put in the system. But yes, finding money, you can do it. Finding stuff.
Well, if you know what you're looking for, right? So it so happened. I don't know whether you want to call it dumb luck, Jack, but I mean the fact that you'd worked.
No, wait. Let me correct that. If you know what you're looking for, you don't know what you're looking for. There's many cases dumb luck. Companies that we generally deal with.
Well, if you can recognize opportunities, my point is, I say it's dumb luck from the standpoint of that you happen to work for addressograph, multigraph company. And so you understood what you were seeing with those ledger cards. You understood that it wasn't just, you know, random paperwork. It was actually, hey, these are folks that we've billed for work and we hadn't collected money from them yet. So you were able to kind of see it, much like, again, to your point, if somebody who's been into QuickBooks or going into the accounting system and pulls up an aged accounts receivable report, let's say. Because that's, you know, if we're talking about, you know, where is cash hiding? That's our theme for today, Jack. That's probably one of the top places that cash is hiding in anybody's business is their accounts receivable. And it's often easy to miss because the accounts receivable shows up on a report that many, in fact, I would venture to say the vast majority of small business owners never look at, Jack, which is their balance sheet. And And we've had the blessing of working with hundreds, I guess maybe at this point, it's maybe in thousands of small businesses, Jack. And what we usually expect to see is a mess when it comes to the financials, a mess. And what do I mean by that? Well, a mess often means that you've got negatives or you should have positives or vice versa in terms of what's kind of going on. So, you know, we've seen financial statements that have negative accounts receivable. So what does that mean? Negative accounts receivable. So you're paying people to buy your product or service. Yeah. How did it get negative? You know, what happened there? Right. Often though, the case is more like what you were saying, Jack, where you've got a bunch of maybe old receivables that are in there. And so we look and see, and my accounts receivable, let's say it's, you know, $40,000. And I run that age account receivable report and say, well, yeah, that's $40,000. About 30 of that is over 90 days. Well, in fact, you know, most of it's actually over a year old. You're thinking, okay, well, hey, is that good money or not good money? What happened to it? How come they didn't pay us, right?
Hey, you don't know until you start to try to collect it.
So one of the first places to look is your balance sheet, And if we talk about the balance sheet, like I said, Jack, most of the small businesses we work with, their balance sheets are often a mess, right? Because nobody's really looking at them on a regular basis. And they're being used to maybe fill out tax returns or to fill some certain thing. But again, the owner's not going through and looking at these things to help manage your business or to kind of, you know, see what's kind of going on. So one of the first places we would encourage you to look is on the balance sheet, is to take a look at your accounts receivable. And again, more importantly, if you go in, there's a report called the aged accounts receivable report. And it shows, you know, if they're current, meaning that within the terms of what you agree, if they're 30 days beyond due, 60 days, 90 days or beyond. So you can see in front of you all the people that owe you money. All the people that owe you money. Again, this is your money, right? When Jack bought Cleveland Armature, it became his money because he owned the company now. So he's able to go and collect that money. People will pay you if you, you know, usually they'll pay you when you ask them. But again, if they owe you money, you don't ask for it. Sometimes they aren't going to pay you just because.
That's right. They'll forget. They'll forget that one pretty quickly.
Well, they'll forget, or they figure, hey, you know what? It's not important enough for you to ask me for it, Jack. Well, it must not be that important to you, then, I guess, right? So to take a look at your accounts receivable is a key spot there, because there might be a lot of money that's hiding there, okay? Another popular place, we start to go through the balance sheet, you know, just go down below that a little bit, Jack. Usually as you go through your balance sheet, you'll see cash or savings stuff, right? Or checking. And then you see the accounts receivable. And then usually the next thing down there, depending what your business is, you may see something called inventory. So depending what kind of business you are, if you're a retail location, let's say, that inventory you have is usually finished goods, stuff that's on the shelves, right? So if you're selling food items that are on there, if it's jewelry, it's, you know, it's watches and braces, that kind of stuff. If you're more of a manufacturing company, you might have some different stuff, Jack. You have some raw materials in there. You got some stuff that's kind of in work in process. You may have some stuff that's actually finished goods, but you got some stuff that's there. My point being, in our minds, that's all cash. Jack, that's money sitting on those shelves.
That's what we see. We see dollar bills, just maybe $100 bills if it's a lot.
Right.
We see them stacked up there rather than whatever is on there. That's right.
So one of the games we like to play is Let's Pretend, Jack. I like Let's Pretend. It should be a game show. Maybe it was a game show at some point. I don't know, but it was a game you learned through Sandler called Let's Pretend, which I absolutely love because it lets you just do whatever you want to do. Let's pretend that happened, right? So let's pretend we go through with a fresh set of eyes of your business. Let's pretend we're coming in as a buyer looking at your inventory. And I'm going to pay you for your inventory, Jack. Now, is all inventory created equally in your shop? If I start walking around, is there certain stuff I kind of go and I do that white glove, I got some dust on top of that stuff in terms of, well, what am I going to pay for that dusty stuff over there? Am I paying you extra for that stuff? Or that stuff that's probably not really worth very much, right? And so being able to kind of see what's in there and understand, you might have a bunch of cash just kind of sitting on your shelves. And one of the things that we see often, Jack, is owners falling in love with their product or service. And no more is it the case than we see with inventory, because it's a tangible piece that they absolutely just, they want to take it and hug it and squeeze it and you know, whatever. They love their stuff.
They love their stuff, but they hate keeping records of it. They hate record keeping.
Or they're complaining they don't have any money, Jack. And then we're saying, hey, well, here's where you go look for it, right? Here's where you go look. So, you know, take a look at your inventory and see what's there. If you have inventory, what's there? What can you get rid of? What's really it's really not going to sell? You're not going to really find that perfect person. So, hey, if you can get 10 bucks for it versus 50 bucks, take 10 bucks now and use that 10 bucks for something else that can maybe get you a better return. But take a look at your inventory and see what's there? Is there good stuff there or not? You know, does maybe
well, you can you can make a case for many of the assets on the books. You know, inventory is a big one, obviously, but all your assets have some potential for bringing cash into the company. Obviously, cash is going to do that. That's one of your assets. And receivables, for sure. And inventory in different ways. But some things have been maybe prepaid. Some accounting entries have been made that aren't valid or could be changed or negotiated. You know, there's dollars there. And it should be looked at like that. Keep it as low as possible and close to the vest and make sure you're controlling it by looking at the values and looking at what goes into these accounts. Physically count them, you know, do that kind of stuff. Pay attention to it. That's real money.
So you're mentioning things like fixed assets, Jack, maybe some vehicles you got, maybe some older vehicles. Maybe you or somebody in your shop's a little bit of a tinkerer, wants to keep stuff kind of going versus, hey, you know what? Let's just get rid of this thing. Get it, you know. Let's get $1,000 for it. Kind of call it a day and move on, right? I mean, there's different things that are there. Where again, if you look at it the right way and say, "Hey, is this thing really worth holding on to, or can I part ways? Maybe it's better used with somebody else," you know. And so, mm-hmm. So yeah, Jack, going through that the asset side, because again, that's stuff that we own, right? That's stuff that's ours. And then now, if we flip over to the other side of the balance sheet, being the liabilities, Jack, there's also some stuff that we often will see there. Starting with the accounts payable. Okay. Now accounts payable is the flip side of the accounts receivable. Accounts payable are what we owe people. So it's our vendors we're buying stuff from. And so one of the things to look at from an accounts payable standpoint, the reason why we say money might be hiding there is you may be one of these people that as soon as you get the bill, you're paying it right away. All right. Which isn't necessarily a good or bad thing. Again, it just is what it is. I have to understand. But there are terms that are going on, and it's often not beneficial for you to pay that quickly. So depending who your vendors are, some vendors might offer like a net 10 type thing where if you pay in 10 days or less, they give you a discount of a couple of percent, something like that, right? But many folks don't. So there's no advantage to you paying sooner. So if you get a bill, let's say you bought some supplies and you get the bill later this month and you got 30 days to pay it. Okay, well, are you paying it as soon as the bill comes in, or are you waiting that 30 days to pay it? Or come back, if you like to pay things sooner, well, do you call them up and say, hey, do you guys offer discounts for paying sooner and see what happens? Or are there different ways to kind of to make it happen? So looking how you're paying your vendors and seeing if there, again, if there's some discounts for paying early, if that's something that you like to do, or again, holding on to your cash until it's later and to see, you know, to see what kind of happens. Or I can let out one of your dirty secrets, Jack. Jack will often let people kind of wait and see, and not pay their bill on time and see what they do to try to collect the money. Because Jack's got a kind of a sixth sense of humor sometimes on this stuff. He likes to kind of see what people do from a collection standpoint to see if there's any new techniques out there that people are trying, right? Or how long it takes for them to ask for the money, you know, in terms of what's kind of going on, right? So there's different ways in terms of your accounts payable, Jack. You can mess around with a little bit or just, again, try to see where that cash might be disappearing quickly from that standpoint.
Sure. A lot of times companies are so mismanaged that they don't know who they owe. And, well, if that's the case, then, you know, you got to tell them. You got to sort of be in their face right away.
Right.
Well, conversely, if you're sitting on something that you haven't paid for months and months, what happened? Do they know they're owed this money? And if not, when and how do we tell them? And how many times do we tell them that, hey, you gotta tug our sleeve here once in a while and say, hey, you're owed money. It's amazing with just good management of those records, both on the asset side and the payable side or the liability side, how much you can mine found money. It's there, sitting on shelves, waiting to be grabbed. A lot of tricks.
Yeah, and the accounts payable side, to your point, Jack, usually it's easier to kind of see because if you owe people money, usually they're telling you about it, right? So usually if you don't have it in, well, they'll let you know in the next few weeks or next few months if you owe them some money. They'll email you, they'll send you an invoice via the mail, whatever it might be. They may send Guido in to start to kind of bust kneecaps, whatever it might be. They'll find ways to let you know that you owe them some money. You know, one of the other places that, and this comes back to part of your opening statement, Jack, where you're talking about And I've got all these wonderful profits, and you know, it's a wonderful year. My CPA is coming into high fiving for, you know, for what a great year we've had. And then she gives me the tax bill, Jack, and I realize that I don't have the money to pay the tax bill. And I'm wondering, wait a minute, if I had all these profits, where did the cash go? And so another place is where, I guess I'm going to combine these two a little bit, but as you're going down your balance sheet, if you notice on your balance sheet in that liability side, Jack, if you have some debts, you know, it might be, whether it be lines of credit, or it might be some different term loans or different vehicle loans or something like that, where you have some debt on your balance sheet. And what happens is it can confuse things, Jack, because when I go over to my profit and loss and see all the money that I'm making, one of the things I don't see on the expense side is I don't see an expense for debt repayment. I dare you to go. If you don't believe us, go take a look at your P&L. You aren't going to see anything that says debt repayment on there, right? So what happens is, the reason why we're bringing this up is, one of the places that money might be hiding is it's hiding the fact that you're paying off some debts. So you're showing some fantastic profits, but if you've had to leverage things up where you have some debts of people you owe money to, well, you're not seeing that in your P&L, Jack. You're feeling it in your checkbook, in your pocketbook, because the money is gone because you're paying it, but you're not seeing it on your P&L. So it creates some confusion, or creates some, you know, again, it asks those questions. Well, if I have all this profit, Jack, how come I don't have enough money to pay my taxes, or I have to borrow money to be able to pay my taxes?
They get a quick explanation for it, and then they get totally confused and still don't understand it. They don't understand it. Yes, debt payment is huge. Anything that isn't expense in that sense isn't going to be understood very easily.
So to be able to write a check to yourself for the profit that year is tough to do. Even more difficult, Jack, what I would encourage people, as I stick on the balance sheet, is to go from the liability, there's the equity section too. And there's this one phrase on there that's very confusing to most people, called retained earnings, right? And so we've had people talk over the years like, well, hey, you know, where is that stored? You know, when I go to the bank and ask them to, you know, to see that retained earnings vault, you know, where is that thing? You know, where does that exist, right? It's like, what do you mean?
The gold bullion, or what? What is it? What inform? What is this? It's retained earnings.
All right. So, sir, I'm here. It shows on my balance sheet. I have some retained earnings here. I'd like to see that account, please. Right. And you know, I would love to see the banker's face when that question kind of comes. Maybe it'd be kind of good just to kind of see what the banker said, right? And see, you know, see if they have kind of some response to you. But
the biggest thing on the sheet is retained earnings. I've been in business for 20 years, and this is pretty big.
All right. Let's get the money out of this.
I want to get the money out of that one.
I'm here to cash the golden ticket, right? And so what that retained earnings, folks, is that shows the history since the beginning of your company in terms of all the profits that you've made, or it's a combination of the profits and losses. But that's the net number of what you've made. Now, but what happens often, Jack, and what you might see right below that line of terms of retained earnings, you might see something called like a distributions or owner's draw or something like that, right? Where you as the owner are now taking money out. You know, instead of taking it out as part of your paycheck, you're taking extra profits that come to the business. You take it out as a distribution or something like that. And amazingly, Jack, that number for distributions is often very close to the retained earnings number in terms of, it just happens to be a negative number because it's money coming out, but it's often pretty close to what the retained earnings number often is, because again, unless you're reinvesting in your business as a small business owner, you probably aren't leaving a ton of extra cash in your business.
Right. You take it out. That's right. That's correct.
So that's another place where the money is often, or the cash is often hiding, or the cash often might get kind of drained out of the business in terms of what's kind of going on. So it's important to understand these things to be able to understand what's kind of going on. There's also some things that you might not be thinking about, Jack, in terms of just different, and we've talked about this at different times and on different shows as well, but there's different benefits that you as the owner take out of the business. Now, it usually starts with some simple things, like maybe you got your cell phone paid for, you get your car lease or your gas paid for. But that starts to kind of grow, and you get your insurance covered, and not only maybe your life insurance, but your liability insurance for your car, and you get maybe some life insurance kind of going on, right? Maybe start kind of funding some of your retirement through the business, or maybe a college, you know, your college savings funds for your kids or something like that. Maybe you're going out to eat three times a week and you're charging against the business because you're entertaining clients, or you're taking care of your staff. So there's often a lot of things in terms of, as you start to go through your numbers, Jack, to start to answer the question in terms of, hey, where is all the cash hiding in the business? And so, as you might guess, it starts with having some good financials. And that's the reason why whenever we have a new business coaching client, we start with, we have in the first meeting, We have them bring their profit loss and their balance sheet. And we do it for a couple of reasons. First and foremost, we want to get a sense in terms of our new client coming on board, in terms of where are they in terms of their numbers, in terms of understanding their numbers. So on a scale of 1 to 10, are they a 1 where they don't look at them at all and aren't sure what they're seeing? Are they an 8 where they're pretty good with these things and they have some tweaking to kind of do, or are they somewhere in between? So we want to get a sense for that. But also as important is we want to get a sense of what do these numbers look like? And so what are they actually looking at in terms of, is it good information? All right, again, are there positives or is there negatives and vice versa? Are there things that just don't make any sense? And so to get them to start to kind of dig into these numbers a little bit and say, hey, the answers are going to be here. Now, we may not find $65,000 for them, Jack, at least on day one or day two, but we often find a lot of cash for them in terms of where things are at or what's happening to their business in terms of why they aren't seeing the cash flow that they expect.
Well, a big part of this is the big benefit is educating. You know, a company that isn't running their company by the numbers, there has to be a great appreciation for that. Chances are they're having problems in spite of themselves. And it's very difficult to plan a company without having numbers. It's very difficult to assess good or bad, other than just profit, you know, without understanding the numbers. And that's a key part of coaching, you know, to let our coaching anyway, to make sure that after spending time with us, they understand the numbers, not like an accountant, but a good, healthy understanding of what they own, what they owe, and how equity, how valuations are conducted, and have that knowledge. It enhances your decision-making tremendously. So that's a big deal. That's a big deal for us, and it should be a big deal for every small business.
So we don't, you know, for many of our listeners, we've never met you. We don't know you. Maybe we'll never meet you. But we can almost guarantee that if you take a look at your financials, your profit and loss, and your balance sheet, there are problems in there. There are things that you're missing. There are opportunities that you're missing. There's probably information that's missing out of there that's in there wrong or incorrectly. And so it starts with just reviewing those numbers. And we suggest our clients to start with is they take a look at those numbers every month and go through their balance sheet and P&L and see what's there and see what they have questions. And so as we go through, we'll start asking questions with them as well. And so it often helps to have a guide like that. And so the bookkeeper that you've got internally might be helpful. Your CPA might be helpful or maybe not, you know, in terms of who do you talk to about these things? If you have a coach would be good, you know, would be good as well. But just to go through and part of what we try to do, Jack, is to try to help our clients understand and take ownership of their numbers. Because again, they'll often push it off and say, well, hey, my bookkeeper, my CPA did stuff. And we go, no, time out. These are your numbers. These are your numbers. This is your money, right? And so don't put that off on somebody else. You got to understand how these things kind of work and know what to be looking for, what to kind of see, and to be able to identify if things look good, don't look good, if there's opportunities somewhere that you might be missing. At least you're able to be kind of, you know, be aware of those things. But it's, like I said, it's one thing that we start with all of our clients with it on, and it's something that we work with them on for all the time that we usually work with them. Because again, it's ongoing, to your point, Jack, ongoing education about this stuff. And just kind of knowing what to look for is a big part of this. And so when we have them come present the numbers, that's part of the key. That's our seventh key, is presenting. And that takes all the BS out of it, Jack, because if you got to present your numbers, you got to talk about it, right? Versus
you got to talk about what they mean, why they're where they're at. It's normal, it's good, it's bad. And what are you doing about it one way or another? Or can you do more of it? Yeah, pretty easy.
So hopefully our show today gave you a little inspiration to dig into your numbers a bit, because again, we're looking for cash, or if nothing else, Jack, maybe they're going to go through and clean up their offices and see if they find some envelopes of stuff kind of laying around, or maybe some uncashed checks, right? It's kind of like, remember in Caddyshack, and you had Ty Webb, which was Chevy Chase's character. He was really good at golf, and he was first meeting Lacey Underalls at his place, and she's going through his place, looking at things, seeing golf clubs. Oh, here's a check for, you know, uncashed check for $70,000. He's like, you know, keep it. It's yours, right? Here's another one for 80. Okay, whatever, right? So you have those things kind of maybe laying around. You know, it sounds silly, folks, but again, we've seen all kinds of silly and not so silly things. And so hopefully we're going to give you a little inspiration to get either go through and clean up your physical space or go up, clean up your virtual financial space, kind of see what's in there and see if you can discover what kind of money's hiding in your business. There's cash hiding there somewhere. And you want to be going to look on a nice little treasure hunt, Jack. That'd be a good thing to kind of do.
Still springtime, a great time to clean up your office and your business and give it a good spring cleaning. Chances are, like a garage sale, you'll have accumulated cash for stuff that's just sitting around and be thrown out someday.
I love it. That's good. I like the spring cleaning, Jack. It's perfect timing. So, all right. So that's our show for today. Appreciate you listening. If you've missed any of our prior shows, you can get them all at our website, dirtysecretsofsmallbusiness.com. We also have a Facebook page by the same name. Better yet, if you have a smart device, go to whatever podcast player you go to, whether it be iHeart, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and you can subscribe to it. We typically drop a new show every Thursday, and it'll be delivered right to your smart device for you. If you want to leave a review, that'd be fantastic. Now, if you're not into reviews, you have some comments or things you want to share with us, you can do that in a couple of ways. One is you can email us at radio@maximumvp.com or give us a call, 877-849-0670. Hey, be sure to tune in next week. Next week, we're going to chat about something near and dear to my heart, Jack, since I grew up in something like this. But it's the topic is, should you work with your spouse or not? And how do you figure out whether you should work with your spouse or not? And I think it's something that people have given a lot of thought to, especially here in the last year or so, you know, with COVID going on and a lot of folks are rethinking things. Perhaps you had an idea to kind of start a business, or maybe you're thinking, hey, maybe my spouse and I should get into business together. So tune in next week. We'll talk about some things you got to be thinking about.
Tread very lightly on that one.
Right. Well, we'll talk about some things in terms of, you know, the family I grew up with, but also some experiences we've had with this stuff that have gone well, maybe haven't gone so well. So we'll talk about maybe some things you should be thinking about or questions you should be asking before you and your better half decide to maybe go into business together officially. So make sure to tune in for that. So, again, thanks for listening. It's been great talking with you this week, and we'll talk with you all next week.
Bye-bye.